James writes saying, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. But if we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes a strong wind to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among the members as a world of iniquity. It strains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Let all God's people say, amen. 8 years ago, I began my first experience in taming a wild beast. Back when I got my first call to serve in congregational ministry, my wife Jamie and I had been married for 3 years at that point. And for those first 3 years of our marriage, we had always lived in places where we were not allowed to have any pets. When I was interviewing to become the associate minister at the Colts Neck Reformed Church, Jamie and I toured the parsonage where we might soon live. And Jamie asked the fateful question, could we have a dog here? The answer came back from the leaders of the church a few weeks later. Yes, you could have a dog, maybe even two, but we ask that the house and the yard not become a rescue shelter for every adoptable dog in Monmouth County. Jamie was thrilled. I was a little worried. I had never had a dog before, and I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what it would be like. On top of moving to a new place and starting a new job, I would also be plunged into a new identity of dog owner. The call to join the Colts Neck Church was made in the spring, and later in the summer, we would move into our new home. So we had several weeks before we would be able to adopt a dog. And given my lack of experience and concerns, Jamie and I started to do our research. We started by watching as many episodes as possible of the Dog Whisperer television show. Any of you watch that show? Yeah? Thankfully, it was readily available to us, so we streamed episode after episode, and I began to understand the psychology of dogs as taught by the show's host, Cesar Millan. I made mental note after mental note of what to do, what not to do. In addition to watching his show, we ordered one of his books, one of the Dog Whisperer books, and over the summer I diligently read, reinforcing the lessons that I had been learning on the show. Ahead of my official start date at the church in September, we moved into the parsonage in August. And a week later, I was at home on my day off when Jamie sent me a message from her office. She had been relentlessly checking the website of the SPCA, and a beautiful dog named Whiskey had just been listed as newly available for adoption. He was everything we had decided we wanted in a dog: medium size, a little bit shaggy, multicolored coat. And so in a flash, we made a fateful decision. I rushed down to the SPCA, met Whiskey, paid an adoption fee, and drove home with a dog in my rearview mirror, a dog who I still felt mostly unprepared to own and care for. As you may have figured out already, we quickly renamed Whiskey and gave him the name Raleigh, as in Raleigh the Rottweiler. The shelter thought he was part Rotty, and we thought Raleigh suited him well. We also decided against the name Whiskey because we wondered what our new church community would think if their new pastor had a dog named after a popular form of dark liquor. So we fell in love with Raleigh right away. But boy, was he wild. We had rescued him and he was living in our home, so technically he was domestic, but he was far from tame. Raleigh had clearly gone through a puppy training class. He knew sit and lie down. But aside from that, he was as wild as any raccoon. For example, if anyone got near an exterior door on the inside of the house, Raleigh would be there in a flash, ready to bolt out the doors into the great outdoors. And on a leash, he was a menace. As we took him on his first few walks, we learned that he had no regard for all of that dog whisperer style commands and directions that we had so carefully studied. He was out to do his own thing, which mostly meant looking for rabbits and deer and other dogs to chase. Walk after walk, block after block, mile after mile, Raleigh strained at the end of his leash, making a fool of himself and us as he barked and choked and flailed about trying to find the freedom he so desperately desired. During the first few days, Jamie would regularly burst out in tears after coming home from walks with Raleigh, where he had had panic attacks on the end of his leash. As we took turns holding on for dear life to that wild ball of energy on the end of our leash, it made all that time watching that and carefully reading the dog whisperer seem a bit pointless. We needed more intervention, so we sought it out. We needed a new strategy, so we looked for help. Jamie enrolled herself and Raleigh into a 6-week training class. And during one session, in a gym with 7 or 8 other dogs and owners, Raleigh was such a problem that the instructor essentially kicked them out. At the end, they got their diploma when the course wrapped up, but Jamie was convinced that the instructor had given that diploma in the spirit of, please don't come back, rather than, congratulations, you've achieved your goals. Despite the troubles and the setbacks, Jamie and I didn't give up on our responsibility to tame and care for Raleigh. We worked with him day after day, week after week, year after year, and eventually we came to where we are today with him, where for the most part we can take him out on walks and avoid most doggy panic attacks and rarely have any reason for tears. In our passage for today, the author of the book of James points out how we human beings, we have done the difficult and amazing work of taming every kind of different wild beast. In his words, he says, every beast, bird, reptile, and sea creature has been tamed by humanity. And James wrote these words in the first century, nearly 2,000 years before SeaWorld even existed. That's meant as kind of a joke, but thinking about it this week, setting aside the questions of the ethical and moral issues of doing so, it's still a marvel of human ingenuity and hard work that we have been able to capture and keep and train animals as wild and powerful and fierce as killer whales. We have done the work of taming all kinds of creatures, and yet James wants us to reflect on how much dedicated work and effort we have put into taming our own tongues, taming our words, taming our feelings and our expressions when we do feel angry, taming our speech. How much work have we put into making sure that our words, our voices, our expressions are expressing something of the truth of our inner identities as friends of Jesus Christ, servants of the living God, agents of God's kingdom, and proclaimers of God's love and good news? I think that James has a really good point for us here in all of this. It is a point that God has been reinforcing in my heart this week as I have ruminated over the ideas of taming the wild beast, those experiences with Raleigh 8 years ago, and reflecting on my own tongue and my own practice of using my gift of speech. The premise of James' argument is right on. By the grace of God, we have been domesticated. We have been rehomed. We used to be spiritually homeless, lost and wandering in the wilderness and confusion. But through grace, God has gathered us in. God has changed our situation for the better. the lost and the lonely, the sinful and the confused, the wandering and the sojourner. We have been given a new home in God's expansive household. We have been given a seat at God's banquet table. We have been adopted and given a new life with God through our Savior and brother and friend, Jesus Christ. This is what theologians refer to as justification. We have been saved and justified. We have been rescued. We have been forgiven. We have been given a new chance, a new life, a new starting point, thanks to God's love. We have gone from being called something wild like whiskey and living in a world of chain link walls and concrete floors to having a new name and living in a new home of care and comfort in which to rest our weary heads. From James' point of view, we are technically domesticated. But the question he is interested in exploring now is, are we tame? And how much focus and effort and work have we put into taming ourselves? How much work have we put into training ourselves to reflect in our lives, in our words, in our actions, the truth of our new home, our new name, our new identity from God? James' focus in particular in this passage is on our tongues. Have we tamed our tongues? But really his point is broader than just the issue of speech. James is asking us to reflect on how much time and energy and investment we have given to training our lives to be in accord with the life that Jesus has given us. We are justified. And now James wants us to focus on the work of sanctification. We are right with God. And now it is time to dedicate ourselves to making our lives reflect that reality more fully. As I thought back on that story of adopting Raleigh, it made me think about how much time and dedication and energy Jamie and I put into being good dog owners. We did. We put in the work. We were dedicated to it. It made me think of the investment that we put into it. When one strategy wasn't working, we went and found help and tried something else. Progress was slow. There were times where we wondered if we would be defeated. There were times when we wondered if maybe the best thing was just giving up, but we kept at our goal. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, we made progress. There was real change. As I reflected on this passage and my experience with taming whiskey and helping him to become Raleigh, God has at the same time been working on my heart. God has been saying, Jeff, you're a member of my kingdom. You have a place at my table, and it would be great if you put some more effort into making sure that your life, your words, your actions, your decisions reflected the reality of that new name and that new home that I have given you. God has been asking me to reflect on how many hours I have logged recently, researching and working on taming the wilder and more troubling aspects of my life. How many times have I intentionally bought and read a book or signed up for a course or sought out the help of an expert to help curb some of those parts of my life that I know aren't fully in line with how God would have me be? How many miles have I walked to give myself practice at those strategies and techniques? People of God, with dedication to our goals, with hard work, with time, with care and perseverance, and most importantly, with God's help, we can make progress and experience real change in the mission to tame the wilder aspects of our lives and even to tame our tongues. May God bless us in these efforts. Thanks be to God. Amen.